B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Myers steps back at the 45, waits for the snap. Michael Dixon puts it down. That kick is away, and that kick is good! The Seahawks win! It's good! From 42, the Seahawks in overtime win for the second time in 2 weeks, and they beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers. What a game on Monday Night Football. The Seahawks win in overtime, and Jason Myers does it. What a game.
All right, and that's how it ended. To your calls on this, the Patriots, etc. Whatever you want. Here's Jim in the car. Lead us off this hour. Jim, what do you got?
Hey, guys. In honor of Big Boy Tuesday, very quickly, one question and a follow-up for Mike, Tony, and Jim. The question is, and it's a yes and no answer, does the AFC Championship game travel to Foxborough?
Yes.
And the follow-up is, who do the Patriots play in the Super Bowl?
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't know. The NFC is pretty deep. It could be any one of five teams, I think.
I feel the same way. It could be. There are a bunch of teams that could come out of that conference.
I don't think. The Niners were my preseason pick, so I guess I should stick with it. But I don't think, as I sit here right now, I don't feel like they're the favorite to come out.
I mean, that was a big loss for them last night.
Huge. I mean, it could cost them home field. It could cost them a bye. If they lose the division, they're a wild card team. And all they had to do at the end there is run some clock. And they, at worst, have a tie. And at worst, maybe people come out the next day and say, boy, you conservative weenie, you played for a tie. To which I would say, oh, yeah, we're undefeated and two games ahead in the division with seven to go. Suck it. I mean, like, that's a big swing for them.
So look, and this is probably not going to happen, but just to put it into context, they could end up going 14-2 and being a wild card team.
Yes.
Like, because if Seattle beats them in the next game up there, they're screwed.
Right.
They're
it.
Screwed. Right? Seattle goes 14-2. The Niners go 14-2, and Seattle wins the tiebreaker.
Niners ain't going 14-2.
Well, I don't think either one of them are.
They have to go to New Orleans. They have to go to Baltimore. They have to host Green Bay. They have to go to Seattle.
Yeah, and Seattle's going to slip up, too. They're going to slip up, too. So I don't think either one of them. But that's what that game meant last night, that they could win them all but lose to Seattle and be a wild card team at 14-2.
Tom and Quincy, thoughts on last night?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I heard you guys talk about this a couple of minutes ago, so I don't mean to repeat anything you've said. But the way Garoppolo looked, and you know, again, I thought it was a pretty good game, you know, overall, competitive-wise. But the way that he was a little shaky, I'd get it, too, if you had Clowney in your face like he was. Because at the end of the day, I think it said he ended up with five quarterback hits. It seems like he hit him 20 times.
I know. Only five?
I think it was higher than that, Tom.
It was five. Yeah. No, it's five quarterback hits. I'm pretty sure that's what it read. And the other thing, too, is because it felt like he was literally in the backfield for half the times that Garoppolo dropped back.
That's right.
And even when he didn't get to him,
that's right,
he was still pushing the lineman into his lap.
So that's
like, the guy was all over the place.
Tom, that's another coaching thing where I can't help but take it here. Would Bill ever let one defensive lineman ruin
never.
A game like that?
No way.
He didn't. He never had. And there's been plenty, Tom, thanks for the call and bringing that up. There's plenty of times where Jason Taylor was kicking Matt Light's ass, or Dwight Freeney, right, would kick Matt Light's ass, and the next thing you know, there's a tight end there next to Matt Light all game, and you never hear from Dwight Freeney. You know, Freeney or Jason Taylor or J.J. Watt or Clowney, or name the guy.
J.J. Watt's the best example of this. Name one big play he's ever had against the Patriots in his career.
Well, or if they do, they make a play in the first half.
It's one off.
And Bill brings the Patriots to the sideline and says, all right, that ain't happening again. We're not letting this guy ruin the game. If their third and fourth defensive linemen want to take over the game, go nuts. But we're not going to let, you know, fill in the blank, Jason Taylor, Dwight Freeney, Jadeveon Clowney ruin our night. We're going to take care of him and then, you know, play it straight up with everybody else. And Shanahan just sort of, I mean, I guess they put some extra attention on him, but not enough. Staley couldn't keep up with them. And they just sort of let Jadeveon Clowney ruin the night.
Yeah, no. The Patriots had never let that happen, not in a million years. And so now, look, you know, officially looking at the stat sheet, I think Tom's right. I think it's 5 quarterback hits. He was back. It felt like every play. He was a force in that game last night. So some of that is coaching. Like, again, get the guy out of the picture. You help the quarterback out a little.
Don't let one guy ruin the night. It's only one guy. You know, make some. And if Seattle has more, they have more. But don't let that one guy take over the game and wreck the game. Mike in the truck on the Patriots. Hi, Mike.
Hey, yeah. Because Wynn and Harry are both coming off IR, that means they can't bring anyone else back, correct?
That's right.
So, Mike, you might hate this take, but I'm a little bit surprised that Bill hasn't brought someone in to fill the shoes of James Devlin. I really feel like he was a key component to the run game being successful last year, and especially with the condition of the offensive line, and obviously Michelle can't do it on his own. Don't they kind of need that moose up in front there?
I don't hate that take. I don't hate fullbacks, Mike. I don't hate fullbacks like I hate running backs. It's odd. I like the fullback better than the running back. I like a fullback that can flare out and catch a ball. I like a running back that, I mean, this Yuschef, is that how you pronounce the name? The guy last night?
Yeah, Kyle Yuschef.
The running game didn't get going, but I like him. I just sort of like that player. They don't cost you anything against your payroll. You don't have to draft them high. You don't even have to draft them. Just pick some big bull fire hydrant off the street and have them ram into a linebacker. Like, I have no problem with fullbacks.
That guy made one absolutely great block last night.
Tremendous.
Where he turned left.
Tremendous.
What a block that was.
And they should have used him more in the passing game, etc. But anyway.
But the Patriots couldn't run it when Devlin was in there.
Yeah. I'd take him back, but they use the two designations on Harry, and it's going to be Wynn.
Yeah, so look, I think Devlin's important too. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a line, forget it.
But I'm also surprised, maybe to the caller's point, that you just can't find another guy like that floating around somewhere. Like, it's really not that specialized. You know, it's not you got to be a top 40 guy or a, you know, like a really, you know, combine warrior or these special sort of off the charts physical traits. You guys got to be sort of tough and heady and strong. I don't know. I would feel like the street would be littered with guys that you could just throw. I'm wrong, obviously, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's that special of a skill set.
Well, they were pretty high on Jakob Johnson until he went down. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying. He ran.
So where's the next Jakob Johnson?
Good question.
I feel like there should be out there. And there's some guy from Navy. Just go to the Naval Academy and take some bull off there. There just should be a guy.
No, God, just stick a Landon Roberts back there for crying out loud. He can't tackle anyway.
Okay, as someone who was running around with his green shorts off last night in the Green Mountain States, our buddy Luke. You got a Celtics minute for us, Luke.
Yeah, Maz, Doncic was pretty good last night, wasn't he?
He was. I like him.
Yeah, me too. What about Porzingis? Where are you with him now?
He sucked last night. I still like him, but he sucked.
So does Tatum, but I don't hate Tatum because he sucked last night. You still think he's pretty good?
Yep, I do. I like Porzingis. Yep. Dallas is an interesting team.
Would you take Doncic and Porzingis over Brown and Tatum? Because I think, and I include Philly, I'm not exactly sure what age their stars are, but I would take Brown and Tatum over any other young duo in basketball. Towns and Wiggins and Bede and Simmons, Doncic, Porzingis. They win. They're both ends of the floor. They can both shoot. They are exactly what it takes to win. And I'm not saying they're them, but they're what the Clippers have. That's what you hope in 10 years, that's what Brown and Tatum are. They have the ability to have less holes.
Young duo.
In their game.
Define that.
Yes, the best young duo.
So what's the age cutoff for eight? You know,
25.
25?
Yep.
So what's Middleton in Milwaukee? Is he over 25?
Oh,
yeah,
I think
he's
is.
Like
almost
30. Yeah, he's like Hayward and Kyrie and Kemba and those guys, I think. I think he was a 4-year college player.
Best young duo. Luke, thanks for the call. It gave us something to think about.
Phoenix has got a couple.
Best young duo in basketball. Is it Tatum and Brown? If you go by that, two guys, 25 and under.
I'd have to think. I hate questions like this because you know what I need to do? I need to like get a list of standings and go through team by team.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so I can't do it off the top of my head. I'm getting too old for that crap.
How about Utah? Murray and
Donovan Mitchell? No. You mean Denver?
Is that Denver I'm thinking of?
I like Jamal Murray and Jokic.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Murray and Jokic in Denver, not Utah. Denver. So
I don't know how old Jokic is. And I'll tell you, if you're talking both guys, I'd probably take him ahead of what Dallas has.
What's the age standard?
25.
Yeah, so Lillard and McCollum, I think, are a little too old.
Jokic is 24.
Okay, so that's a good one. But I think I like Doncic better than either guy the Celtics have. Now, Brown's a better defender. Tatum will see. That's right. Disagree on Luke with Luke. Tatum on the defensive end, I need to see more.
Those guys are more athletic than
they Doncic. Are. Way more.
Way more.
Porzingis is 24 also, by the way.
Doncic has unbelievable game sense.
At 7'3", Porzingis should never have a night like last night.
He was horrendous last night. He was like, he was checked out. He was not interested in playing. Doncic is a better passer than any of them. I mean, he's, and defensively, he's got some shortcomings. He's just not the most athletic.
Now you know why I wanted the Celtics to go up and get Doncic so badly.
Doncic is good. He's good. He's legit.
But no, can't trade Jaylen Brown. You can't trade him for Luka Doncic. You can't trade him for Kawhi Leonard.
Do you think Celtics fans would want to trade Jaylen Brown for Luka Doncic right now?
Probably not.
No, but they'd be dumb.
Do you think Danny would?
Yup.
Nope.
I do.
Danny didn't. He had a chance to trade up for him in the draft to get him. That was his target, and he wouldn't do it.
Exactly. No. Doncic was the same draft as Robert Williams.
Careful, Jimmy. I can hear those seats getting worse.
No. But he didn't want to trade Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard. You want to trade Jaylen? I don't think Danny wants to get rid of Tatum or Brown, these guys.
Yeah, I don't know. If he had a crack at Doncic, maybe.
I don't know.
He did in the draft, Tony, and he wouldn't do it.
This is what Stu's trying to tell you.
I don't think they get a chance to move up to 3 in that draft.
They were trying to get to 2.
They had Robert.
And they wouldn't give up. They wouldn't give up future pick this, Jaylen Brown that. They wouldn't give up Jaylen Brown.
They didn't have enough to get there.
Okay, we can pick this up on the other side with more of your wonderful phone calls after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
So here we go. First and goal for Russ and company. Play fake. He's going to half roll right side. Still looking. Throws back inside. Ball is tipped up. Is it caught? It is. It's caught in the back of the end zone by Hollister. Touchdown, Seahawks.
And Hollister reaches up with one hand and brings it in. And he's really just a safety valve on this play. Wasn't in the route pattern and just stayed alive and crept into the end zone and gets the one. And he's really getting held. What concentration. He pins it against his own helmet and then brings it in with two as he lands on his back.
So Jacob Hollister. You sort of put that on a list with Josh Gordon, who you saw last night in overtime. You know, he didn't show up all game, and then Lockett gets hurt, and he's in the ballgame. The next thing you know, on key third downs, Russell Wilson's picking up first downs to Josh Gordon. You're like, ugh. And this Jacob Hollister, who's been in your camp for a couple of years until you traded him last April, he's actually getting looks and was a factor in that. He wasn't just on that play, they say he's a safety valve, but feels like Russell Wilson was looking for him and throwing to him. You said the last 2 weeks he's got what, Maz?
He's got, I'll double check it. I think it's 12 catches, 99 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 8 catches last night. I think he had 4 the week before. And the week before he caught a game winner in overtime, I think it was.
Okay, so Hollister was in your camp. He gave him away for nothing. Gordon was on your team. You released him for nothing. And if you want to add DK Metcalf, who was a factor last night, was a second-round pick. I think I said third earlier. He was the last pick of the second round last year by the Seahawks. About 30 or so picks after you took N'Keal Harry. He's a factor for the Seahawks, and N'Keal Harry doesn't get on the field. So, like, that's got, you know, do you second-guess any of those? Which ones do you look at? Which ones are fair second-guesses as you look at the Patriots?
I mean, to me, Hollister's the one that I would look at, given the complete deficiency they have at tight end. So some of the other ones I can live with. Again, I think Metcalf's a little overrated. I'm not telling you that he's a bum. But, the two times I've seen him play, he had a huge fumble against the Ravens that I think got returned for a touchdown. And then had another one last night. So to me, there's work there still with him. Like, Harry and Metcalf might not be that different. Let's see.
Yeah, the Hollister thing annoyed me. Given the situation that the Patriots have at tight end, like, I get it. He had an injury history here, but I don't know. That kid's made plays now for 2 straight weeks, factoring in wins for Seattle. I remember him popping up last week just watching highlights against Tampa. I was like, oh, I remember that name. And last night, like, he was one of the reasons they won that game.
I mean, he was good in that game.
So we had that long conversation last week about why the Patriots can't hit on young receivers and young pass catchers and Bill's inability to identify the talent. And you know it's mostly a Bill problem because what guy that he's ever drafted that failed here went on to do anything anywhere else? Brandon Tate, you know, is nothing but a kick returner. Dobson, Boyce, these guys, Mitchell, and then went on and did nothing. So it's mostly a Bill problem because they didn't work here or anywhere. But then you see Hollister last night. And I don't care about Jacob Hollister. I'm not telling you that he's, you know, Mike Ditka or Rob Gronkowski or Mark Bavaro, like some great tight end.
Dallas Clark.
He's a fringe roster player, probably was and always will be. And I don't care about it. I'm not saying like, oh my God, did you blow it on Jacob Hollister? That's not really what I'm saying. What I will say though is, when's the last time there's been someone like Jacob Hollister who's popped for the Patriots in the pass catching department, either a tight end or a receiver? Undrafted guy, bottom of the roster guy, sort of a, you know, they traded Jacob Hollister for a 7th round pick in April. Okay, when's the last time you had someone like that on this team that just sort of popped and was there and Brady threw to and was a factor in wins?
Malcolm Mitchell in that Super Bowl and that's it.
But he was a 4th round pick, so, you know, maybe. But it's like you have all these great rags to riches stories. At every other position, whether it's Malcolm Butler or J.C. Jackson or, you know, name an offensive lineman, David Andrews was undrafted or you name it. Like, just sort of fringe guys who you identify, you put into a key spot, they emerge, and they just give you this great roster depth and these great diamonds in the rough, and you have them all over the roster, all over the every year. When's the last time that guy's been a receiver or a tight end?
It's a great question.
It just doesn't. So where's the? It doesn't have to be, again, this Jacob Hollister. I don't care about Jacob Hollister, but just give me someone like him.
Murray, what was the one you said earlier? Edelman.
No, that was Bernard.
Well, no, Bernard said Edelman, or then Kemble Tompkins, like someone like that, and then he was gone. But I mean, that's a fair one. Kemble Tompkins, undrafted, sort of out of nowhere, and then was a little bit of a factor that year for you.
What, yeah, it was. He had that game winner against New Orleans.
Is that 2013? I can't remember the year. Whatever year that was. It was 6 years ago. And it's like you routinely pluck these guys at other positions. And how come it hasn't? So how come you've had no Jacob Hollister equivalent at receiver or tight end for years now? So that to me is sort of a frustrating thing. And I think it does go back to Brady. You mentioned DK Metcalf. I wasn't that impressed last night. It's the first full game I watched from him. He's super raw, too. He doesn't run routes. Mike Lombardi was right. He's big, you know, physical specimen. Like, I see the physical plant, but he's not a polished receiver by any stretch. If he was in this offense, would Tom Brady even look at that guy?
I don't think so.
He didn't really run routes.
Look, it's hard to believe Brady would look at anybody at this stage. And again, this is this part of the... You know, the problem, the Brady part of the problem, I think, is real. So I think the majority of it is Bill. But when you see Hollister had 10 targets last night, 10. You imagine Brady throwing to a guy 10 times in a game like that?
So, and look, Matt says he'd take Russell Wilson over Brady right now. I don't know if I would. I'm not like, that's not, this is just sort of to highlight the thing we talked about last week that I think is an issue. And that is Brady just locking in on familiar names, veteran players or star players, and not really having the time for the Jacoby, for the Jacob Hollisters of the world or the Jacoby Myers of the world. I mean, last game it was Edelman, Sanu, Edelman, Sanu, Edelman, Sanu, a little bit of white. Edelman, Sanu, Edelman, Sanu, a little bit of white. That's it. You know, look at anybody else. And I think that's going to catch up to you at some point. And I think Brady's so much better when he spreads the ball and sees the field and uses everybody. And that's when he's Brady. And I think it'd be nice to see him get back to that here in the second half of the year. And just so Russell Wilson last night is not surrounded by much. I'm sorry. He didn't got Jerry Rice out there. He's got a bunch of fringe guys, rookie guys, raw guys, fringe roster players like Hollister. And he makes it work and he throws to him. And I don't hear all this stuff out in Seattle about circle of trust and they don't know the offense and the dot, 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 dot. I just see Russell Wilson playing with the guys for better or worse. And I'd like to see a little bit of that out of Brady here in the second half.
And he lost Lockett late in the game. I mean, Lockett's his best receiver, probably the best skilled player on that team, in fact. And they still won the game. And I don't know, this goes back to something, you know, I think Tom Curran wrote last week, where he said, well, if they're moving the ball and they're scoring, who cares if he's throwing to Sanu and Edelman all the time, talking about Brady? My counter to that is they only get 20 points in Baltimore. So, like, okay, fine, you got to the 20, and a couple of those there were turnovers that shortened the field. So they're able to move the ball, but they're not scoring. And like, I just think that this is a...
I think Brady's a better player when he spreads the field. Everybody is.
They're just harder to defend when
Of course. So I just... That was just sort of a something that... Again, Hollister or not, I'm not super impressed by DK Metcalf, but they're out there. They're part of the offense. The quarterback's looking at them and using them. And I think they're better for it. Period, story over. I think you would be too if Brady did that with the guys that were here, whether he likes them or not. So there's that thought. I promise. Wrap it up with your phones after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports.
Here's the way I look at it. Division rival, no Kittles, no Sanders. Not time to run the football. It's all on Jimmy Garoppolo, and the entire NFL has been waiting to see this.
Here's the test. Four-man rush should have been intercepted. KJ Wright could have closed the door right there.
Jimmy G is feeling the pressure in the pocket. Jadeveon Clowney, and just an ill-advised throw by Jimmy Garoppolo.
Quickly to the line, Garoppolo. Steps up, and that could have been intercepted by Wagner, and it falls incomplete. Minute 10 remaining, one timeout.
Jimmy Garoppolo is panicking in the pocket. Seattle's doing a good job playing zone coverage, and Jimmy's just panicking, just throws it up there. He's got to calm down.
Garoppolo, got to be careful with the clock here. Samuel, as he gets inside the 30. 11 seconds, they have to clock it. 9 seconds, 7 seconds. And there they do it. So now the script has been written for the rookie Chase McLaughlin. 6 ticks remain. Pressure on the rookie. And boy, oh boy, does he deliver. A 47-yard pressure kick. And he puts it right down the middle.
Well, it's a nice job by Garoppolo during that drive, settling down. He almost threw 2 interceptions early in the drive, but he settled down.
So there's Garoppolo's night in a nutshell. Should have had a couple interceptions. They were dropped. Made a couple plays to get him in position. The guy made the kick. That was the end of regulation. Overtime didn't go so good. Same distance. Kicker drilled it down the tunnel. But anyway, that was a great line by Booger McFarland. It's all on him. The whole NFL's been waiting for it.
It was a great setup, wasn't it?
Half a second later, he throws it right into KJ Wright's gut. I was like, oh, God. But he survived. He got lucky on that and then drove him into the field goal range. That's how it ended.
I mean, so Booger says at the end of it, nice job by Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, settling down. I look at it and say, he got lucky. He got lucky. I'm not convinced he totally settled down. He got a little bit better. But he was all over the place.
Yeah, and thankfully football justice was served in the overtime. You play that poorly, you're that turnover prone, your team doesn't deserve to win. So the right team won last night.
See, I'm not as vindictive as you, Murray. So, maybe I am.
Anyway, your thoughts on that, on everything else. To your calls. Dan in Cranston. Hi, Dan.
Hey, what's up? So I spent a couple hours listening to San Francisco radio on the app this morning.
Yeah.
And by far the GOAT that on is Kendrick Bourne. Not for so much the first one that he dropped that led to the interception.
Sucked.
It was the one down by the goal line, which would have put them up 25-21 late in the fourth quarter. That, by far, is the play of the game. And Jimmy made a great pass there. And if he just said that was, he couldn't have handed it to him any better. So, and if he had held on to that, they would have been first and goal and what, the 2?
Yeah,
and 4 minutes left.
I thought it was like the 8, but either way.
He had a little room to run, though.
So maybe the 2. Whatever. I think the biggest problem the Niners is that receiving core without Kittle and Manny Sanders. The rest of them are just young and they're not ready. And, they killed him last night. And that's not to absolve Garoppolo of a bad night. I think he had a losing performance, Garoppolo did. And maybe didn't deserve to win. That's fine. That's fair. He helped lose him the game. But I think the receivers are worse than he is sort of my point.
I mean, there's a reason they traded for Emmanuel Sanders in the first place, right? And the other thing, too, is if you go further down the list there, Dante Pettis, ooh, he looks soft.
Oh, so there was a 3rd and 14 coming out of their end that Garoppolo hung in the pocket, put it right on him on the sidelines.
And he got hit and dropped it.
He got hit and dropped it. It's like, you got to make that play.
And then there was another one, if you remember, later in the game where Garoppolo led him and Pettis kind of jumped and sort of stopped.
Yes.
And then reached for it instead of running to the ball. And so
those receivers blow.
He was afraid. He was afraid of getting hit. That's why he pulled up.
84 especially. And then so 84, that's born, right? He catches the 2-point conversion. You see him doing like his jive dancing. I'm like, you freaking loser. Have you dropped two balls like that? You're going to strut around on a 2-point conversion? Yeah, you don't get it.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like is the way Garoppolo handled the whole thing. Because again, he's a little too young to be pulling the Tom Brady Dan Marino crap. So he was, you know, he was basically MFing him on the field with his eyes, if nothing else, even if his lips weren't moving. And then after the game last night, they asked him about, you know, the problems that the Niners are having. And yeah, I can do a better, you know, we can do a better job all the way around. Me throwing it, us catching it. Mm. Like, I just thought that was a lousy thing to say. It was. I didn't.
What,
like that
Murray? Go ahead. You smirk over there.
Just sounds like a bad teammate to me. That's all.
I agree. It's something a bad teammate would do.
Yep. It's very, very big of you, Mass, to admit that.
Here's Alan Arlington on the Celts. Hi, Al.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I wanted to talk about the Celtics, and I have a theory behind their great start. Aside from getting rid of Kyrie Irving, I think the Celtics had one advantage that most NBA teams didn't have going into the season, and that is they were able to have four players play in the World Championship tournament and work with Kemba. So I think that was a great advantage, and I think that, in part, has helped them with the great start this season.
Okay, Maz, your thoughts on that? Because that their performance there where they lost to France concerned you.
Yeah, so look, I mean, I thought Kemba sucked in that tournament, and he did at the end of it anyway. So I was worried about his play. But if you want to tell me the four of them being together, you know, helped speed up the process, I mean, I might buy that. The year they won the championship, they went on that Italy trip, right? They all went to
Europe.
Yes,
that's correct.
So I think there is something to be said for that about, you know, accelerating the process of integrating new personalities. That I do believe in. But in the game against France, Kemba sucked.
Chris in Hartford on the Celts.
Hey, Mike, isn't this great? It's something that you knew and I knew. The Celtics are 8-1, number one in the Eastern.
Not surprised, Chris. I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised. Listen, Mike, you're on it, and you're running with me on it, and I appreciate you, man. You know, the big thing is the turnover ratio. We're number one. We're not turning the ball over. You know, we're settling down. Kemba's at the line a lot. He's hitting foul shots, spreading the ball.
Your comment line, Chris, your comment line says Marcus Smart. Are you buying on the 3-point shooting?
You know what? Smart, what he's doing is he's shooting with Kemba. Kemba has a very straight shot, kind of like a college shot. Kyrie didn't. So when you're practicing with guys, you kind of learn and mimic what they do.
Okay, Chris, love it. I'm with you, baby. I'm all green this year and all that. I'm in on the team. I'm going to break with you on this. I'm not blaming Kyrie Irving for the fact that Marcus Smart can't shoot. That's a little silly because Marcus Smart
shot well last year.
Yeah, exactly. He has spurts.
He runs hot and cold.
Exactly. He has good months and bad. If Marcus Smart is like this, if we get to Christmas and Marcus Smart is shooting, and I don't even know what his percentage is.
It's about 35-36%.
Yeah, it's not even that special. It's just for him, it's a little better. But if he's a 35%+ shooter at Christmas, I'll give it to you.
I looked it up the other day. I'll check it again right now, but it's 35-36%.
Okay, so it's better than 29% or whatever his, you know, what's his career average?
Oh, he's up over 30 now.
Okay, but either way, my point is I'm not sold. I'm in on the green.
So after last night, he's up to 37-3 this year.
I'm not in on Marcus Smart as a lockdown 3-point shooter until I see it all year. And then I'm going to even need to see it in the playoffs and big games, et cetera, et cetera. I've seen him go good for a month from the 3-point line. Come on.
So last year, he shot 36.5.
I didn't realize it was that good.
He did. And I mean, since the beginning of last season, he's at 365. And I'll tell you, if that's what the number is with him,
fine.
Plenty good.
Yep.
Anything over 33 is good.
I didn't realize it was that good.
Anything over 33 is a win. Right, because you're coming out ahead.
I always thought he was hovering right around 30.
Yeah, he was up until last year. The year before, he shot 30%. So before last year, he sucked. Now he's, you know, it's creeping into an area where he's actually becoming a little dangerous out there.
Ken in Connecticut on the Pats. Hi, Ken.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to bring it back around to the fullback conversation. what would stop us from taking like Brandon Bolden and transitioning him into that type of position? I mean, it seems like a similar skill set.
I don't mind it. I don't know if he's quite big or sturdy enough.
That's my concern.
But I love the fullback that can catch. I love that, you know, from the old Niners days or Tom Rathman or like that guy. I like that spot. The Niners have one now, too. I just love throwing to the fullback.
I mean, typically you need a guy there about, what, 245, 240?
Yeah.
Could you get away with 240? Bolden feels to me lighter than
220-ish?
That.
220-ish?
Yeah. That, you know, now he's not afraid of contact. He plays on special teams. You know, he clearly runs hard. Like, I'll take all of that. I don't know. I don't know if that's quite big enough.
Here's Wayne in Grafton on the galloping, panicky pick chicken. Yes, Wayne, what do you got?
Oh, I like that terminology. You know, Jimmy G, you know, didn't have a good game last night. Matt, you know, but he kept him in the game. Maz, I still think you have a ginormous Jimmy G in your shots, but he's not a Tom Brady. We're never going to see another Tom Brady in our lifetime. Well, at least not in mine, because I'm a short timer. But Maz, please do me a favor. Put on the Jimmy G helmet and all your gear, because like I always say, there's nothing like good helmet. Peace out.
Okay, Wayne, peace out. That was a 2 o'clock hour. You're gonna have to go. Maz was sporting all the Jimmy G gear earlier.
I just call it a Jimmy. That's what I call it.
Give you credit. You ride or die with him, even after a bad night like last night.
Oh yeah, I'm not like you, Murray. Jimmy Jellyfish over there.
Billy in the car. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Mike. One guy that I was thinking of that were on the Kemble Tompkins side of the house is a guy like Danny Woodhead.
Sure, a long time ago, 9 years ago. But right.
Danny Woodhead, you had a good, it wasn't drafted by the Patriots, but he had a cup of coffee with the Patriots and had a pretty good career with San Diego.
No, I liked Billy. I liked little Danny Woodhead. And I liked him in the passing game. You know, I liked all that. He was a good little weapon.
Swiped him from the Jets, right?
Yeah. So that was 2010, 2011?
Way back there.
So all I'm saying is, when's the last time you had the Jacob Hollister, the Danny Woodhead, the Kemble Tompkins, that guy? You could use that guy.
Totally.
And I mean,
look, the guy this year should be Myers. I mean, again, it's Myers is the candidate.
And again, I'm not going to, like, you know, start picketing for Jacob Hollister. But you traded him April 29th. Like, yes, he's been injury prone. But if you traded him April 29th and was injury prone, that's mean he had to be held out of some sort of camp. Like, you don't think it was worth taking him into one more full training camp in pads just to see? Because the guy can obviously catch.
Well, I was going to say, my recollection was when he was here, he caught the ball. It wasn't an issue with that. It was an issue with staying on the field. I remember one pass Brady threw him in particular. It might not have been Brady. It was in the preseason. He made a catch, and he got absolutely freaking drilled and hung on to it. And I remember thinking, boy, this guy holds on to the ball. Like, and, you know, I think he had 17 catches or something while he was here 1 year.
Yeah, I wasn't going to have a nutty about it either. It was annoying. It was annoying to see him make play after play after play last night in the passing game when you have tight ends like Matt LaCoste and Ryan Izzo. It's like, this kid wasn't a better option?
Well, my point is, what if Brady actually threw to those guys? What if he actually looked for him and threw to him and trusted him a little bit? Do you think Izzo's capable of making some of those cuts? Every time I go to his name, I forget the first name.
Jacob
Hollister. I don't think Jacob Hollister is a special player. I think he's a guy, but he gets thrown to because he's open and defenses leave him alone. And so if you throw to him, there's plays to be made there. You don't think Ryan Izzo or Matt LaCoste could do the exact same thing?
So LaCoste might be able to, if that one ever gets off the ground, maybe he's Hollister 2.0. Again, another guy who's hurt all the time, but that touchdown last night,
that was a nice grab.
That was a nice play. That was a nice play. I mean, it was total sandlot football, but that was a nice play.
Jimmy in Rhode Island on Russell Wilson. What do you got, Jimmy?
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys really care or not, but from what it looked like on that kick the game-winning field goal, it looked like Russell Wilson knelt down and didn't spike the ball. I don't know if I'm the only one.
Yeah, no.
I've
had a couple people email me that his last spike looked a little funky. And it didn't look right from the angle, and I still haven't seen the proper angle. Some people have said that he juggled the ball and then sort of slapped it down as he fumbled it, which isn't, it should have been a fumble and not a spike, or that should have run out the clock, and it wasn't an official spike, but I haven't seen it properly to tell you whether I agree with that or not.
Yeah, looked fine to me.
Yeah, I haven't,
yes.
I haven't looked that closely at it either.
It never should have been in that spot. Shanahan should have taken the tie, been two games up in that division, and had a commanding lead the rest of the way. Now they're in jeopardy of pissing away that division.
I bet you they end up as a wild card.
Yeah. And that could be one and done. One and done for old Jimmy G there, Murray. And he throws that interception in the fourth quarter, and that's it. It's
Can't
coming.
Wait.
You know it's coming. Or is it an interception going the other way, or is it a strip sack? I mean, if we're being honest, it's probably the strip
probably
sack.
Probably the strip sack. Either way, get ready for a Blanami. That's coming.
Well, it's definitely a strip sack.
Okay. Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody, Jim.
All right, we have the 10 questions recap with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal making his usual weekly appearance.
He was in a crappy mood today.
Sure he was.
Well, here's
cranky.
Let's see if that comes through here in the recap put together by Hardy.
Coach of the year, top three.
John Gruden. Frank Reich. LaFleur.
Who was number one?
Gruden.
Boy, it didn't take you long to get into the Vegas.
That's right, baby.
A lot of room in that ball bag in Vegas. Number nine. Give me a suitable coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Give me a, meaning, who should be coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but you just can't pick. This guy's going to be able to work with Jerry Jones.
Got it.
Meaning,
okay.
Who would be a good selection that the owner would accept?
So you're talking about someone with the personality to tolerate the owner.
Yeah, exactly. Next. Bigger fatal flaw, Kansas City's defense or the Rams quarterback?
It's the Kansas City defense.
Yeah, it's the Kansas City defense.
You get a Belichick courting that defense, he'd still be boned.
Rank them best to worst. Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, my God.
Brian Hoyer.
They're all horrible.
Obviously. Who's the biggest tool bag eagle of all time?
You can't spell tool without T-O.
T-O.
Tool.
Who's your favorite eagle of all time?
Brian Dawkins. He just looked cool. Loved him.
What is the single most important team to the NFL over the next 5 years? You understand? What is the franchise that they need to get right more than any other
all right
over the next 5 years?
Giants. And do you want the second part of the?
Yeah, it's the same question.
Giants.
Number two, over under. Super Bowl wins for Lamar Jackson. Over under 1.5.
I said under because.
Over.
Over.
Under. If you could take one player from last night's game and put him on the Patriots, who would you take? Please give me two names.
Deebo Samuel and Kyle Youssef. Fullback. They need one. You're insane.
It's debatable. Is it crazy to say that Wilson's playing better than Brady right now? I mean, is that just so unbelievably wrong?
Very good.
Exactly. That does sum it up. No editing necessary. That's how it sounds. Lip smacking. Big boy. Here comes Jones and Arcam. What do we got tonight, Jonesy?
So we're going to dump on Garoppolo, obviously, or at least I am. I was driving in listening, and forgive me if somebody already brought up this example. I didn't hear it. But you're not on Garoppolo for the pick?
No, that wasn't his fault. It was right through the guy's hands. It's pretty high. It's pretty high.
Thank you, Jones. You know what? See, you know what it reminded me of?
You guys hurt your argument when you do that.
Super Bowl 46. Who was the incompletion Brady to Welker on? Who was that moron?
Welker, 100% Welker.
Ooh, I thought you put a lot of that on Brady.
Never,
no?
Never, not once. 100% on Welker. Catch that ball.
I put that one on Welker too.
And oh, by the way, last night 10 times easier than the Welker catch.
I put a little bit of it on Brady, but hey.
Typically, when a ball's high, your feet leave the grass, as you saw in that play. The player had to jump and leave the turf. So, just saying.
I think that guy sucks.
Not a very good night for him.
You got plenty to pick apart with Garoppolo, but to go to that, you hurt your own argument. But don't take my advice. Do what you have to do.
I strengthened my argument. More bad plays.
Do what you have to do. Good luck.
Listen to the counselor over here.
Yeah. Arcan, good luck as always.
Appreciate it.
Okay, babe. We got Bruins tonight, right? So just like an hour or so?
Oh, half hour. Yes.
Half hour.
Yes.
So you only
Bruins start at 7 o'clock tonight, pregame at 6:30. Yes.
Okay, so here comes Jones for just half hour, thankfully for you. We're back at it tomorrow at 2. We'll talk to then, Anthony.
Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.